Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Would you have an issue with your child being told to eat less meat and dairy? Now, Fine Gael is on a collision course with farmers after the Minister, Richard Bruton, last night stood over a Green Schools programme advising students to eat less meat to reduce the carbon footprint. The Irish Farmers Association, the IFA, has reacted furiously to teachers, the teachers' resource pack, which is part of the Tush, I think it's called the Tush Green Schools programme and distributed throughout schools all over the country. The pack has been endorsed by Communications and Climate Action Minister Richard Bruton, but the IFA is demanding that the pack be withdrawn immediately. Now, teachers are asked to measure the amount that is taken for climate change, including asking the children if they currently reduce their carbon footprint by eating less meat or dairy products. Further, it suggests that pupils run a Meatless Monday campaign in their schools and give other ideas and recipes for a simple, healthy, alternative lifestyle to eating meat. Now, I want to know what you think. Would you have an issue as a parent with your child being told in school to eat less meat and dairy? Would you have an issue with that? Let me know what you think. Would you have an issue with your child being told to eat less meat and dairy in school? There's a whole kind of push, isn't there, towards this kind of vegan diets and plant diets. Let me know what you think. The number is 0871880008. Would you have an issue with your child being told to stay off meat and dairy? I want to go to Angus Woods, who's the beef chairman of the Irish Farmers Association. Good afternoon to you, Angus.
Good afternoon, Niall.
Angus, the IFA not too happy about this at all. I suppose basically taking the food from your table because you represent farmers in this country. I mean, is there any credence at all in what they're suggesting for this Meatless Monday?
In short, no. On Chask have very much overstepped their remit. That is not part of their remit to be issuing diet and dietary advice to young children and young adults. What we would say very, very clearly is all the research and all the information coming from all our health services is for a proper, well-balanced diet for our young children and for adults also. And it's not part and parcel of their remit to be issuing dietary advice.
Well, now, schools have always issued some level of dietary advice. I remember my kids going back 10 years ago. They kind of had this fruit and veg thing where every day they were told to bring in, you know, a fruit and veg or and to eat it in school or whatever it happened to be. So there was always a kind of, I mean, we do have a responsibility. The schools have our children for a third of the day. So they do have a responsibility to not just educate them in academia, but also to educate them in social skills, dietary habits, you know, exercise, all those kind of things. So they do have some obligation to that, don't they?
Everyone has an obligation in terms of a healthy, balanced diet. That is what we would always stand over, a healthy, balanced diet, which is exactly what our health services recommend, which is contrary to what is being recommended in this. This is not recommending a balanced diet. This is recommending taking some of the key aspects of what is a balanced diet out of it and issuing it as part of what is actually meant to be a climate change documented.
This is the argument, which I would agree with you is complete and utter nonsense, because that meat has to be replaced with something else. So if it's being replaced with rice, which the paddy fields in China have one of the biggest carbon footprints in the world, if it's being replaced with fruit, if you go to the orange groves in places like Florida where they're letting them purposely rot to price fix, that indeed has a huge carbon footprint. So no matter what, if we take meat away, we must replace it with something else. Soya, look at the amount of forests that are being destroyed to grow soybeans. So everything has a knock-on effect, I imagine. So if it's not the damage that's being done by meat and cows, I'm sure that damage is being done by something else that we're going to replace it with anyway.
Well, I mean, you've summed it up very, very well there. I mean, we have an agricultural system in Ireland which is very, very highly efficient from a climate change perspective. We're producing meat and dairy, which are the two things identified in this, at the highest level in terms of standards, environmentally friendly. We're doing that. And this document that's issued is a climate change docket. It's not a nutritional advice document. And we're saying from a climate change perspective, this is not the right advice that they should be offering in terms of dietary. The whole climate change debate needs to be broadened out. The easy target at the moment is farmers and agri-produce. But you've highlighted it very, very clearly that a lot of these produce has to be replaced by something else. And even if you took something as simple as meat, we have a highly efficient system, grass-based in Ireland here. And if that was to be replaced by South American produce, which, as you say, rightly say, they're destroying rainforest, the carbon footprint is at least four times higher than what the Irish beef carbon footprint is. And so what needs to happen in a climate change document is to have a proper debate about climate change and to be educating our young people about the real effects of climate change and how we can implement real and positive change in terms of our daily endeavours around everything we do. And that could be anything from a cup of coffee to a family holiday to aircraft travel, to public travel, to cycling to school on a bike, or, you know, it's a broad-ranging area, but the easy target and the soft target appears to be agriculture, which is wrong, and it's the wrong message to be sending our children.
Okay, and in relation to meat-eating itself, have you noticed, or have your members noticed over the last few years, particularly since 2016, we have a huge increase in the amount of people who want to go vegan? Do you think this is a kind of push to push more people towards this vegan diet, which many people believe is a fad, because the average 16-year-old who goes on a vegan diet, because that is the average age for people starting a vegan diet, only lasts 3 months and goes back to eating meat again because they can't stick it. Do you believe that it's just a fad, and is it affecting farmers of Ireland, this kind of vegan fad?
I don't necessarily want to say it's a fad. People are entitled to choose to eat what they want, but I certainly would encourage, especially with children, the use of a healthy and balanced diet, you know, and that we don't try and push. If someone in some of our national agencies has a personal preference for a type of eating habit, that's not allowed to be pushed down on all the young people and the young children, and our teachers then don't distribute that message out from there. Healthy balance is what we have to deliver on. Now, in relation to meat and meat consumption, globally meat consumption is very much on the rise. You're seeing a lot of the Asian countries are increasing their consumption. So,
What about Ireland? Has the vegan diet, or the kind of popularity of the vegan diet over the last few years particularly, has that affected Irish farmers?
No, I wouldn't say so, because global consumption is increasing. Yearly, so it is. Now, what we need to, and this comes back to the climate debate, that global consumption is going to increase, and we need to make a decision, and it's a climate change decision. Are we going to stop Irish and European farmers from producing food in an environmentally friendly manner and let the likes of your Brazils, who are burning rainforests, continue to burn rainforests, continue to expand, to fill that void within the consumption market? Or are we going to encourage and assist our farmers to continue the route which they're doing, which is to produce food in a very environmentally friendly manner? But also, Irish farmers have taken huge steps in the last number of years in terms of improving what they're doing. And we certainly believe within the IFA that there's room for further progress in this. So rather than closing down the Irish farming sector, you know, we believe that there's great improvements to be made there on farm on top of what we're already doing. And we have, you know, our dairy produce is the carbon footprint is the lowest in Europe, and our beef is almost the lowest in Europe. So, you know, we are doing a lot right with what we're doing in our production model, and we're also looking for mechanisms and tools that will help us to do it even better as we go. But it's about a balanced diet, and we shouldn't mix climate change up with providing a balanced diet to our young kids.
And you think by discouraging them, or having a day, as we call it, for, say, Meatless Monday, you believe this is just the wrong approach completely to take? Yes, we should educate people about, obviously, you know, regulating the amount of red meat they eat versus white meat, etc., and eating fruit and eating veg, and we should give them all the instructions and education. But actually telling them that they shouldn't be eating meat on a certain day is more damaging than anything else, I suppose, is the point you make.
Putting it forward that this is the solution to climate change is absolutely the wrong message to be sending to our kids. Like, to tell our kids that reducing meat consumption is going to solve climate change is not the right answer.
No, it's a lie.
For anyone. It's an absolute lie, and it's ignoring all the other massive consumer trends and massive consumer changes that are taking place in terms of even foreign travel, you know, how many times people use the car, how many cups of coffee, plastics, all those kind of things. They are all part of the climate debate, and if on Chask we're going to have a real and proper climate document, they're the kind of things they should be dealing with and not issuing dietary advice to young kids.
All right, well, listen, thank you very much indeed. Angus Woods, who's a beef chairman of the Irish Farmers Association. And this is in relation to Meatless Monday. This is on Chask. They have basically issued, well, Richard Bruton is backing this, the schools project, which they'll be telling kids, you know, in the future that Mondays are a day that you don't eat meat, which is not making the Irish farmers very happy. Meat or dairy products, by the way. And there's a whole, look, he's right. There's a whole lie going on in relation to this idea that eating meat is bad for you. Eating meat is not bad for you. Eating too much meat is bad for you. Eating too much of anything is bad for you. You must have a proper diet. I think the biggest problem that we have in this country with a rising population and with people, more people working and more mothers and fathers working together rather than having one person at home busy in the home all day, the biggest problem we have is laziness. What we're doing is buying our children processed food. What we're doing is not cooking good meals anymore. We're not doing what our mothers and fathers did anymore. We're making things easy. Pizzas, quick food, handy food. We're making it all very, very easy for ourselves and not thinking of the health of children. And that's if you go from a dietary point of view, from a relation of the climate change, to tell children not eating meat is going to help the climate is nothing but a lie. An absolute and utter lie. And I will challenge anybody to prove otherwise. Because yes, of course, cows have an effect on the ozone layer because they fart and belch all day, particularly in places like India. There's a huge carbon footprint if you really want to go down that road. But so do rice fields. So does growing fruit. Soya is destroying the forests. The soya, to replace the meat by vegans who care about animals, are destroying the forests. Which in turn is killing more human beings and adults probably than the meat itself. Dermot, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Dermot?
Hiya, Niall. How's things?
Dermot, you're a farmer. You're probably not a happy man with Richard Bruton today because he's pushing this and backing this Green Schools programme, which is Meatless Monday.
Exactly, yeah, because when he thinks about it, if he brought, like, I have rare breed outdoor free-range pigs, and if I, every October, November, when I quieten down a bit, I bring a trailer with piglets and bonds into schools in the local area, and kids have never even seen a live pig. Do you know what I mean? So I sit there with them, and the junior infants and the senior infants are lovely and the little lovely pigs. Mm-hmm. But from 5 years to 11 years of age, the kids want to know what part of the pig the rasher comes from because they thought it came from Tesco in a packet.
Right.
You know.
They thought Tesco was producing them out the back, making them.
Exactly. And then when I see them maybe 2 weeks later when I'm doing a hog roast out at a function or something like that, they come and they point out to me, oh, look, there's where the rasher comes. There's my ham for Christmas on that part. And my sausages come from the shoulder and the neck. And they get excited about it. And whereas now you're trying to tell them, like...
Well, they say this is all part of encouraging children to participate in climate change.
Like, the teachers have enough to do. Like, it's hard enough to get a kid to know it's times tables nowadays. Mm-hmm. Like, years ago, they were doing their times tables and everyone knew it. Now it's very difficult. I find with kids nowadays, they've so much on their plate. But then to add this to it and give them false information about their diet, like everything in moderation, and I'm all for all moderation and a good product, but not laziness and processed food. Mm-hmm. We strive to give the animals the best life they can have, and then we produce the best product we can give them, and good solid food for kids. Anytime, it's up to the parents, really.
Well, I mean, somebody rightly said in a text earlier on, I don't know the whole text, but more or less what they were saying is, if the kids have a Meatless Monday in school, all they're going to do is go to the chipper and get chips or pizzas or something later on anyway to replace it with, which is probably rubbish either way.
And that's what I see at the secondary schools. I've only been doing it for the last 3 years, and I see the secondary schools, they're walking down to the chippers at lunchtime and they're walking down to the centres, which is fair enough, and they're getting their rolls and stuff like that, but they don't know where their food has come from. Whereas you know, people like myself and farmers of Ireland are trying to strive and do the best we can to produce good quality meat, and let the parents make up their mind. Like, I've seen it. I was up at the Chinese New Year because it's the year of the pig, and I was up there. I had three lovely little pigs in a crate, telling people about the year of the pig and the different. We have Oxford, Sandy, and Blacks, really rare breed. And then when I went on to the meat side of it, the parents were hushing their kids away, like, where your rashers come from. And these are just little kids of 3 and 4 years of age that you could actually show them where the meat comes from. Because I go to the Ploughing Championships, Tullamore Show, and all the shows with my pigs. And the amount of people that come up to me and say, I remember my father and my grandfather having pigs down the back. Nobody is rearing their own meat anymore, and that's what we're striving to do.
And are you conscious yourself, I don't know whether you are or not, of this idea of climate change? Do you buy into it? Are you conscious of it?
I am conscious of it, yeah. I really am, because you can see the weather changes. Like, snow this time last year, on the 30th of March, I remember, and we had to...
I don't think that's a sign of climate change. I mean, snow in 1982 around the same time of the year anyway, and that was actually worse than that.
You can see that the temperatures are warming up a bit and everything.
Okay, but
like
what
that.
I'm saying is, are you conscious from a work point of view? I mean, I'm not too sure now, please don't get me wrong, but I don't think you're farming. How many pigs have you got?
About 24 breeding sows, so about 200 pigs at any one time outdoor.
Well, that's a big enough business for you. Sorry, I was going to say it was a small farm, which is big enough, isn't it? You know, so how many pigs do you sell a year? How many would you sell a year?
About,
I'm being really nosy now.
Yeah, no, we sell them as weaners to people that want to buy them at 8 weeks old and rear them two for their own freezer. Then we rear pedigree pigs to export all over the world. Then we do a hog roast. We do 120 hog roasts at birthday parties and weddings and stuff like that. We're doing a massive one in Quinn Superstore tomorrow. Come in and taste our beautiful product, you know, because it's actually the amount of work that goes into it is unbelievable to try and produce a joint of meat.
Okay, well, do me a favour, stay there for a second, because Patrick, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Patrick?
Hi, Ned.
How you doing? Nobody seems to agree with this, but the Minister agrees with it, this idea of meatless Mondays for kids.
Yeah, but Niall, that sounds all well and good in his fairyland or wherever he's living. But the bottom line is, if they're going to replace it with junk or whatever else, it is no good. And even I was reading their info about a site called diabetes.co.uk, and the doctors are putting their patients on high-fat diets with lots of meat and dairy and all that and reversing their diabetes, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's two arguments here. See, there's two different ways of looking at this. They're doing it for health reasons, and they're also doing it for climate change. But I think the climate change one has... I don't know where the minister is getting off on this one. This is not going to make an ounce of difference to climate change. Not one bit of difference, because that food they don't eat or that meat they don't eat on the Monday has to be replaced with some other meat, which has to be sourced at some point, which equally will have, you know, will have a carbon footprint. So that's a nonsense, right?
Yeah. But,
so let's look at the dietary point of view. Again, it has to be replaced with something, and most likely you're right, Patrick, rubbish.
Yeah, and I have to be on a strict starch-free diet myself because of my ankylosing spondylitis, and if I don't, I'll just be on a cocktail of drugs and I'll be on a lot of other things to destroy my body and cost the state more in the long run, and at least this way I can actually spend 2 or 3 days walking without a walking stick, you know?
Right, no, I'm sorry. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Oh, by the way, can I just ask, just before I go into the next break as well, just Dermot, this kind of the rise in veganism and vegetarianism over the last few years, you know, and everybody going for gluten-free diets, we're not even celiacs, and people eating avocados and avocados, all these what I call fads, has that affected your business?
Not really. We have a bit of a laugh about it because the bride and groom come to me to book their barbecue for the next day and they say, will you put one vegetarian dish together, just anything at all, just make vegetarian couscous or something like that. But I meet people, I met a young lad at a barbecue last week in Dungarvan and he says, oh, the poor pig cooking away there. And I said, look, I'm producing rare breed pigs. If you don't eat our meat, we can't produce them. Out of this litter, there was one pig that is of a pedigree standard that we can go on and they won't become extinct. If you don't eat meat, they will become extinct. This breed was down to 104 pigs 7 years ago. Now we're back up to 572, still on the rare breed list, but still vital that we keep producing good quality products and good pedigree pigs.
So in other words, if we didn't eat animals, which we do as human beings, the animals would never exist in the first place because we wouldn't be raising them and breeding them to eat them. So the animals would never have a life.
There's 15 breeds on the rare breeds list in Ireland of pigs with the introduction of the large white landrace, which has now gone to the Danish F1 hybrid, which is an all lean pig, whereas most of the traditional rare breed older pigs have all got a layer of fat in them with a taste in them. And that's what we're trying to bring back is that kind of assist them.
You look, nobody is suggesting that you or your child should eat red meat every single day. You shouldn't, actually. I would advise you not to eat red meat every single day. It wouldn't be good for you unless you want to have coronary heart disease by the time you're 50. But certainly, a balanced diet is of no harm to anybody. And telling people not to eat meat on a specific day, similar to the Catholic Church done many years ago with Fridays, or Ash Wednesday, is ridiculous. Let people decide when they want to eat the red meat or the white meat or the poultry or whatever it are, there's the dairy products, whatever it wants to be. But all we do is we educate people and we educate our children on how to eat. That's from a dietary point of view. In relation to climate change, there is so much evidence. I would challenge people to go online and read the actual evidence in relation to vegan diets or vegetarian diets versus meat diets. In relation to climate change, there's no difference. We all do exactly the same amount of damage to the planet. If we stop eating meat, it has to be replaced with something else. That something else will do just as much damage to the planet in the long term, in the big scheme of things, if you want to look at it that way. I don't buy into everything they say about climate change. Not having kids eating meat on a Monday is not going to save the planet. I can tell you that for now. Diane, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Diane?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Diane, I mean, you're a vegetarian.
Yep.
And well done to you, if that's what you want to do. And what was the reason you decided to be vegetarian, by the way? Was it
To be honest, I've been a vegetarian for about 25 years, to be honest with you, right?
Yeah.
And I think I started going off red meat. I did it very gradually. I did it over like 6 or 7 years. And it just, initially, it was, I guess, I just didn't like the taste of it anymore, the texture, that kind of mm-hmm. thing. But yeah. It wasn't just, I decided one day, you know what, I'm 14 or 15, whatever I was, and I'm going off meat. And
but some people just don't like meat, and that's fine.
Exactly. And yeah. That's me, and I just don't like it. So I won't eat it again. That's fine. But I'm not vegan. I'm vegetarian, but I do eat vegan food every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. I don't go and, you know, enforce my rules on everyone else, and you have to do this, you know, if you want to eat meat. All my friends eat meat,
mm-hmm.
but they don't eat meat all the time.
And you're not running up to them shouting in their ear, you're a murderer.
No, God, no. I mean, they slag me off, but I have to put up with that, but that's a different story. But
yeah.
No, I mean, if they want to eat meat or fish, that's fine. There's no problem. And we go to a restaurant and I have my veggie food and they have their meat, fine. But they don't eat it every day.
And by the way, I have friends who don't eat meat for the same reason you don't either. They just don't actually like meat.
Yeah.
And I know one of my friends takes vitamins because it depends on your own body. Not everybody. Some people can get away with not eating meat at all and it doesn't matter. It doesn't affect their body. Other people might need to take a supplement. So
I would
advise you obviously to talk to your doctor about that if you feel any ill effects of not eating a meat diet or not having those proteins in your diet.
Oh, no. But to be honest, I mean, I went to a nutritionist myself a month ago because... I thought I had a balanced diet. I cook everything fresh myself, but I just wanted to go and understand a bit more about it.
Mm-hmm.
And because obviously I don't eat meat, and that's where a lot of your B vitamin comes from, I take B supplement.
Well, it's not just the B12, it's the protein, healthy fats, zinc,
yes.
selenium, iodine, things
exactly,
like that all
yes.
come from meat. Okay, but this idea, getting back to the kids in the school, is it fair to be, you know, to the farmers of Ireland, apart from anything else, to be telling kids that, you know, let's not eat meat on a Monday
no.
and we'll save the planet?
No, I don't agree with that. And as I said, I'm not going to go up and say to anyone, my God, you're eating meat, how dare you? No, nothing like that. But I think it's the most stupidest idea. Because if you tell someone not to do something, they're going to do it anyway. So
mm-hmm.
even though they might not be able to do it in school, they'll go home and the family might be, I don't know, roasting a pig or something. I don't know, for dinner.
I used to do that to my poor mother. She was very religious.
Oh,
and on a Friday, of course, you're not supposed to eat meat if you're religious.
Yeah.
And she would have the fish fingers out. Right.
Mm.
And I would purposely, when she'd say to me when I was about 14 or 15, she'd say, oh, what would you like for dinner? I go, a burger.
Oh.
You can't have a burger. God will smite you down.
I know, but it's stupid. But I suppose the angle I want to come in on this is not to have meatless Mondays or meatless whatever other days, but it's education.
Mm-hmm.
It's educating the children what you should, you know, your vitamins, not your vitamins, sorry, your fruit, your vegetables.
Your proteins.
You want some meat. Yeah, exactly. And have a balanced diet like that and know how much to eat and what to eat. And it's this, what annoys me actually is this rubbish about the processed food, because that's just,
mm-hmm.
that's the cause of a lot of these children's problems.
Oh, it is,
obesity, They can't concentrate.
Do you know what it is? It's laziness. But we, not just laziness too, it's a change of lifestyle. We have a change now where we have both parents working in a lot of cases. You know, and because of course life has changed. And we, you know, we're getting home, we're doing fast food for the kids, something that's convenient and quick out of the freezer, you know, the pizzas or the frozen chips or whatever. And they're just not eating healthy food the way they used to. They are eating frozen and processed food. But say now, because I want to go to Peter as well before we finish. Peter, you're on Classic Hits.
Niall, how's it going? Good afternoon.
Are we going to help the climate? I've only 70 seconds, but go on.
I was saying to your researcher there, the problem that we have is basically a mathematical one, right? And that is that in order to reduce the carbon footprint on the planet, we have to reduce the amount of footprints, right? Now, we have 7.5 billion people at the moment, and I think if I'm correct, either in 2025 or 2030, that's going to go to 10 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to up by a third. So if we can't cope, the planet can't cope with us at the moment, how is it going to cope with another third of the population?
Well, the population has gone from 2 billion to, you're right, nearly 8 billion now at this stage.
Yes.
In the space of 90 years.
Yes, right. Now, and what happens, excuse me, the population of the when it comes to it, sorry Niall, I'm losing the train of thought here just for a second. When it comes to the scientists reckon that, look, they're trying to project what's going to happen in the future, right? We can't tell what's going to happen tomorrow.
No.
Okay, but they do say there's a lot of scientists in agreement that if there was no humans on the planet, all life on this planet would flourish within 50 years. You know, and as I was saying to your researcher, the BBC made a great program of the exclusion zone in Chernobyl, where they brought cameras into it. And what they've discovered is that all the wildlife is flourishing in the dead
zone. And all the plant life. I watched that program,
and all
actually.
All the plant life, yeah. Right? No human interaction. Now, and what they reckon is saving the animals themselves is the fact that they don't live long enough for these cancers to develop in their system.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic Hits.